This episode is the How Much Do I Need to Retire Part 2. I mentioned in the previous episode that that model is just a really simplistic model, but it's not exactly how I personally would go about it. But if you're just learning financial planning and, you know, retirement planning for the very first time, it's a very simple way to understand it. So I'm going to show you kind of a better way to do this planning. Now, a considerable flaw in the previous model is that at age 70, you have to sell your stocks. So you're basically exiting the market and you go, now I'm sitting on $1.2 million or whatever you have. You need to now have the discipline to not spend it all. And that's incredibly difficult for a lot of people. So I'm going to talk about how you can go about planning it differently and ensuring that you never run out of money. Now, before I get on with this episode, a reminder that I have a Patreon page where you can read articles, you can download spreadsheets, you can get internet resources, you can see all the stuff that I use, you can watch tutorial videos and even chat with me. So if you have any ideas or podcasts you'd like me to do, feel free to reach out. It's free to join, so sign up today. The link is patreon.com/jellyman_investing. Also, a disclaimer, I'm not a financial advisor. Please consult with a professional before making any financial decisions. On with the episode. Now, this episode is actually very, very quick because it's actually not that complicated. Now, the way I described it previously isn't exactly how you want to do it, but I wrote it anyway so you have a basic idea. So what we've done is basically bought a Toyota Corolla. So that first model, think of it as an old beat-up Corolla. We haven't customized it. The wheels are standard. Everything's completely standard, especially if you think of the Corollas of, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s. Like, they're just absolutely plain. Okay. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to modify this retirement plan. Now, investing in the following way is somewhat of a, you know, infinite money glitch. And because one of the biggest fears people have when it comes to retirement is they're going to run out of money. So this method will actually solve that. So say our yearly returns is 10%. Okay, just as an example. So if we have $1 million in stock, by the end of the year, it will grow by 10%, okay? Which means it's now worth $1.1 million. Say we sold $100,000 worth of that stock, which is basically how much it grew by. And we use that $100,000, we pay the taxes, and then we live off that money. That means our stock value goes back to $1 million. What happens at the end of the next year? So assuming we're going to get 10% again the following year, the $1 million will once again grow to $1.1 million. We sell the stock, we live off it, and then it goes back to $1 million. It grows back by 10%, and then it repeats. So basically, it just keeps generating more money every year. You sell it, spend it, and then you move on. So you're never actually touching the core money that was invested, let's just say. Now, this has a few assumptions built into it. Firstly, it assumes you're not spending more than 100K. Human behavior kind of dictates that some people are going to go overboard a little bit. Most are not prepared to get a sudden lump sum of cash. We know this because if you look at Tats Lotto winners, they're all a complete mess. If you look at someone who has been making $40,000, $50,000 for their entire life before taxes, and then you go, well, listen, we're going to start giving you $200,000 a year, it's going to be all gone because they never learned how to manage that volume of money. So that's kind of one of the things you have to consider here. Secondly, it assumes you're going to get 10% growth every year. What happens if one year it didn't grow? Well, then what? You know. So thirdly, it assumes that there's not going to be any extreme situations such as, you know, you don't suddenly need experimental surgery costing $400,000 or five, something like that, you know. And then lastly, we're not accounting for inflation. So the reason I say this is, you know, I studied mathematics and engineering and physics and all that kind of stuff. A lot of the times we don't know, or it's very difficult to write a very precise model right away. So what we want to do is we just ignore a lot of these things, and then we account for them later. So say we go, well, we don't know if we're going to get 10% every time. Why don't we switch that back to 7%, recalculate everything, and then see how it looks then? Or maybe we're going to do 10% for the first 10 years and then 10% for the next and then 3% for the next, whatever it might be. And then in terms of how much we're going to spend every year, maybe it won't be 100,000 all the way through. Maybe we'll want that to increase by 5% every year as well to account for inflation. So these are the things that you can start modifying on your Corolla. You start adding to the model to start accounting for more and more things that are unique to your life, right? This is where, yeah, you do have to start doing a little bit of mathematics. If you're a programmer or you're kind of pretty good with Microsoft Excel, you'll be able to program a lot of this stuff in. If not, there's a lot of people online who are more than happy to do a lot of that mathematics for you. So what happens if it only grows by 5%? And instead of selling 100K, let's say it grows by 5% and we sell 80K. And say we do that for 10 years. What will happen? Well, if it grows by 5%, the stock is now worth $1.05 million. So $1,050,000. Then we sell 80,000. Our stock is now worth 970,000. I do that for the following year. So the whole thing grows again, and then that brings me to, I think, 1 point something like that million. We sell 80K, and that brings us back down to like $940,000. And as you can see, it's actually declining. So one of the dangers with this particular strategy, if you don't have enough, is that if you eat into kind of the principle of or the core funds of the investment, it starts to go downhill. So this is one of those things where you want to plug it in and go, well, what if I have $1 million, can I live off 80K? If not, then maybe I need $2 million and then run the math. And this is stuff that you could do on a basic calculator on your phone. So you just do that. And then what you want to be able to see is each and every year, that if you take an extreme amount of money out, so let's say you go, well, I only need 50K to survive, but I'm going to model this using 100,000. How much would I need to survive? Like, how much do I need to have in my retirement? So those are the kind of tiny little tweaks and changes you can make to your own personal model to give you a much better idea of what your life is going to look like in the next 5, 10, 15, whatever your retirement is. And the other thing is, once you're in retirement, let's say age 70, these funds, structured correctly, will continue to grow. When you pass on, these funds can be, you know, you can donate it to charity, or you can pass this on to possibly your children, and they can use that to buy their houses or, you know, start investing. But I will warn that if you, again, you know, you build like $1 million or several million dollars in cash, and then you give it to your kids who've never had to deal with finances before, you could end up dooming them. So be very, very careful with that kind of stuff as well. Again, people are not trained to deal with huge lump sums. So if that is part of your plan, if you pass on, start preparing them for finances now, so that if that million comes in, they use it responsibly and it's not going to destroy them, or it's not going to rip the entire family apart, because I've seen that happen as well. Hope you guys enjoyed, and I'll see you at the next episode.